This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. You've got myself and Noomi here. How are you, Noomi?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I think we've got some really interesting stories to talk about this week.
Yeah, let's get started with the first one. We were so excited about this story. We started talking about it before we'd even hit record.
Yeah, we've had to like sort of contain our excitement, shall we say? We'll call it that, just to save it so we can talk about it here. But basically, the title is Stunning or Rubbish, Jaguar's New concept car divides opinion. Now, I have been seeing this all over my social media, including LinkedIn, actually. Just wanted to get that in there when LinkedIn says it's not social media. Luxury car maker Jaguar has unveiled its new electric concept car, and like a recent controversial teaser video, it has divided opinion. Some people on social media are saying the new Type 0000, not sure how to say that one, but car was exciting and absolutely stunning, whilst others called it rubbish and told Jaguar's designers to go back to the drawing board. However, the car maker has suggested the reaction is exactly what it wanted as it tries to reset its brand to revive sluggish sales. Now, I'm sure you've seen the images, Naomi. What are you thinking when you see them?
So it's always hard with this, isn't it? Because it's a concept car, so it's not going to be production. People aren't going to be driving these around. And I always think with concept cars, they always look a bit more futuristic than... Yeah. Do you remember the Audi concept car? Was it like the A9 or R9?
Vaguely, yeah.
Like this was years ago, and it looked like something out of a Blade Runner movie. And we don't have that car now. And that was like 5 years ago. Yeah. We still don't have cars that look like that. So with a pinch of salt, however, and I don't think it's helped by the fact that it's only in two colours, London blue and Miami pink. I do think it looks like a Barbie car.
I'm here for it, right? Because again,
I knew you would like it.
It's a concept car though. So if we think in terms of like, I just want to sort of think of a fashion show, right? Like high fashion couture stuff, like that goes down that catwalk is not intended for everyday wear, is it? It's intended for maybe special events or more of like an artistic expression of what the designer is thinking. It's not a ready to wear collection, right? So if car makers are coming out with these concept cars and they're not mass producing them, why can't they do something a bit wild and out of the box? Why can't they be who they want to be without having to always cater for the bottom line and what people might want? Because the only way we're going to sort of develop artistically and creatively from an automotive standpoint, and again, we can all argue that it's like all mechanical and engineering and stuff, but you can still make things look good and like design the way they look. You're never going to be able to progress and develop new types of looking vehicles without trying things like this.
Yeah, you kind of almost have to go too far out there and then scale it back.
Because like, look at the Teslas. Do you remember? I can't remember what they're called, but you know the truck looking one.
The Cybertruck.
Nah. Yeah, people use them.
Yeah. I don't want to get cancelled, but my opinion of people that decide to drive Cybertrucks is not particularly high.
Yeah, I know. I get that. I mean, it's been interesting. You know what? I need to get this word interesting out of my vocabulary because I say it too much. There's definitely other words I can use. But seeing all the online discourse about this, especially like what you see on LinkedIn versus what you see on X or Twitter, whatever you still call it, is... You know, just like reading about it, it is very, very controversial. And there doesn't seem to be any middle ground. Like there's people proper like defending Jaguar as well and being like, why can't they do this? And there's other people being like, ew, yuck, not for me. Like people are vocal about it. And I think it's quite a genius PR move on their part because even if people hate it, they're still talking about it. And that means that people are going to be thinking about it.
Yeah. And they've said this in this article, boss Rawdon Glover has said, you know, the whole purpose behind it was Jaguar has been decreasing in sales. Sales in 2018 were 180,000 and it was 67,000 last year. So they wanted to kind of like revamp the brand to increase sales and get more people talking about it. And he said, you know, it helped draw more eyeballs to the firm. And in that context, the strategy was successful. So it'll be interesting. You know, we've said this is a concept vehicle. They're going to relaunch as an electric only brand in 2020. 2026. So, you know, I think maybe next year we'll see the cars that are going to come out in 2026 and maybe they'll be less divisive.
And you know what? Maybe they're right. Not the people saying it doesn't resonate. Maybe Jaguar saying they need to be disruptive because clearly whatever the Jaguar brand stood for wasn't working for them anymore. Yeah. If the sales were dropping. Now they've created a bit of excitement, a bit of buzz behind, you know, the product and like what they're trying to sell and who they are as a company. Everyone's talking about them. You even got Elon Musk, whether good or bad, commenting on it. So people are going to be watching now what they do. Can they turn it into something good? I hope so, because I think it's time that there was a bit of buzz and people actually doing something a bit different rather than constantly just thinking, oh, what might the market want? What might people want? Sometimes you just need someone to just go out there and do something different.
Yeah.
Again, that's me talking from an artistic point of view and fashion girly vibes rather than, I don't know, car vibe.
If you could have one of these concept cars, would you go for the Miami Pink or would you go for the London Blue?
I want the pink one. I knew you were going to ask that. You know what? Old me would have said the blue one. But recently, I have been doing this thing. Right? I used to love pink when I was little. Then I went for a whole phase of like, ew, pink. Pink's too girly. Pink's like, it's going to sound ridiculous, a sign of weakness. And I'm like, why is it? Why can't we just enjoy pink women without having to be sort of categorized into this weird girly box?
Yeah.
But in a pink car, get a pink car.
And I'm going to pay for it with my STEM salary.
And I'm going to rev it past all the boys in their jet black cars. Like, which one would you get?
I think I'd have the Miami pink as well.
Okay.
I used to have a pink Barbie Jeep. And I think I've just been chasing that high ever since.
You know what? Definitely. I think as well they'll be able to tap into a market here. Like, think how many people watch the Barbie movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I feel like people are sort of getting back into the spirit of pinkness again. Yeah. So this could be genius. Like, women, you know, are half the population drive cars. Like,
what they could do is instead of London Blue, they make a green one and then tie it in with Wicked Part 2.
Oh my gosh. Maybe you need a new job.
Jaguar, give me a call.
All right, let's move on to our second story today. Now, we've kind of touched on this a few times in different episodes. There's a big conversation about the power demand required for AI. You know, it has a huge computational cost and there's a lot of companies that are talking about it. We talked about Meta, their data center. They wanted to build a sustainable data center. They couldn't because of a rare species of bee. So there's a lot of companies that are already taking measures because also they've committed to measures to help the climate. And then they've also started developing AI tools. So
how do you balance it?
Exactly. You've got to balance these two things. So Amazon this week has been announced that they're teaming up with a startup called Orbital to help remove CO2 from the air at one of its data centers. So Orbital is a carbon capture startup. So it helps create kind of like this material that will capture carbon in the data center. And it's kind of an interesting technical situation because apparently one of the carbon capture's biggest costs is creating enough airflow so that the sorbent material can absorb carbon dioxide effectively. And then data centers naturally have cooling systems to move massive amount of air to keep the servers running at optimal temperatures. So it's almost a perfect symbiotic use case.
Yeah. Wow, okay. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that it's like, oh, well, we need to get rid of CO2 and offset the carbon cost. If only we could be moving a large amount of air. Oh, wait, the thing that we're using all of this carbon for moves a lot of air around. Like, it's kind of crazy.
So it's a material then? This is a material?
Yeah, so apparently it's an absorbent material that can capture carbon dioxide, but that air needs to be pushed over that material.
Directed through it.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder, like, how much can this material absorb? Does it need to be, like, I was about to say ringed out as if it was cloth? Do you get where my thoughts go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, or is it like a, can it be reused or is it a one-time only thing? And how do you then like repurpose it or what do you do with that captured carbon?
So I don't want to say the word, but this is interesting. Like, there's a lot they could do here. I'm feeling it.
So apparently, you know, Amazon isn't the first company to team up. That Meta and Google have been exploring these partnerships as well. But I think it's a really important development that needs to happen. And I think it's great that these companies are, you know, taking it seriously on what they can do and how you can do it in a smart way. That, like, I think this is what's really cool about this case, is using a feature of the data center already, like the cooling systems, to be able to implement carbon capture is cool.
I think it's cool. I think we're going to start seeing more and more solutions like this, maybe not the same, maybe a bit different, but I'm glad that people are starting to think of the end cycle of products. I watched a really cool Netflix series if they can't remember what it's called, which doesn't help us, but it was new, and it was about I think they released it before Black Friday, because it's about consumerism and people that work for big companies like Amazon and stuff like that not thinking of where all the products that people are just ordering for next day delivery end up in landfill afterwards. So I think there's definitely a discussion being had on, when we create things, what do we do with the byproducts of, you know, what we created, and after it's been made, what do we do then with all of this sort of material, like organic, or like even like, I guess, carbon in this case, which is organic too, or like, you know, electronics, like, what do we do then?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I guess we are starting to pile up all of the stuff we've been making over the last 100 years or so.
Yeah. But then we had stories like the other week, those robots that are taking materials and circuitry apart to help reuse them. So I think there is this wide discussion, wide development to kind of address these problems. And we'll see what happens. So we wanted to end on something a little fun that's not actually tied to a news story, but is topical for the week. And it is the season for data science. Apple's Replay came out this week, Duolingo's Year in Review. At the time of recording this podcast episode, Spotify Wrapped is not out yet, but we think it's coming out later today, so it'll be out by the time that this podcast is released, this episode. And I think it's just interesting that, you know, as our world gets more digital, we have so much data, and we have then just become fascinated with reflecting back on this data about ourselves. And we like, you know, tracking our data, and we like analysing our data. Like, I love Spotify Wrap. How do you feel about it?
I love it. I love to see what unhinged mess I've been creating in my Spotify area. I feel like it tells me a lot of how my year's gone, depending on who my top artists are, like, I've been listening the most. Like, I find it really interesting. It makes me laugh. What about you?
I'm quite a nostalgic person, so I quite like, you know, like, looking at my Facebook memories or my Instagram memories. So I really like looking back on the year and going, oh yeah, like the years where you go through a breakup or whatever, and you're like, oh yeah, I was really, really feeling that. Oh, I played that sad song 70 times. Wow. She was really going through it. And I really like how they keep it fresh each year and the ways that they use that data. I think it would be a really fun team to be a part of, to go, okay, this is our raw data. How do we manipulate this and process it to create new insights? You know, like, a couple of times they do like your playlist personality type or whatever. So they look at the kind of genres that you're listening to, and then they get some insight based on that. I think that's really cool. But even just the raw data stuff of, you know, like, how many minutes have you listened to is cool. So we were thinking, you know, there's loads now. You have obviously all the music ones. Spotify is where it kind of started, but you've got Duolingo now that tells you, I'm a top 3% learner in French on Duolingo, which I'm pretty impressed with. But you have like Sainsbury's do one where they...
Sainsbury's?
Yeah, so they'll tell you if you're like a top buyer of something in your area. And what other ones have I seen? Oh, Monzo do one, which is actually kind of depressing, because that just tells me every year that I spend way too much money on coffee. Yeah. And you're just like, oh, actually, this isn't fun. I just feel called out. So there's loads of people that do it already, but we were like, what are more like unhinged ones that the apps are probably collecting that data anyway. How could they use it? So, Harriet, what would you have if you could have a wrapped anything?
I guess if I'm thinking of a wrapped that would help me with work, it would probably just... I'd probably like have a wrapped that says like how many times my tests ran on the first go, how many times I broke the pipeline through leads. That would probably be useful for my job, but also like sad as well because I'd have to stare at it. What about you? Do you think there's anything that would help?
No, I don't know if for help, but maybe interesting. Like for radio, it would be cool to know, like, you know, how many minutes have I spent talking about Taylor Swift this year? Because I know that I do it a lot on air, but it would be interesting to have that, like, as a finite number. Or, like, getting called out by my car app, you know, how many times have I had to use the map to find where my car's parked because I've forgotten where I've put it?
It's only recently I've got a car that I can do that with, and I have been using it, I'm not going to lie.
It's always because it's further away than I remember, and I'm always like, I swear I should have seen it by now, and then I go and I'm like, oh no, it's 5 more minutes away, okay.
I got my brows done the other day and like I was like, where is my car? It's not where I thought it was. Someone had just parked the car in front of it so I couldn't see where I was. I was like, have I been robbed already? They're like, what?
I'm trying to think of like other things.
I know one. So I'd love to know how many times I say certain words in text, for example. Like just the way I said interesting so much today, I'd love to know like throughout the year what my word was.
WhatsApp wrapped would be insane. Can you imagine that? Like you messaged this person this many times. You spent this many minutes on a video call. You used interesting. That would be
wild. And emojis as well.
Emojis. That would be so good. Potentially dangerous though, because you could imagine you'd just get so called out, you'd be like, okay, I need to stop talking to that person.
I used the aubergine emoji 50 times in one conversation.
I would love Apple to do that, or Google. Like, I mean, it would involve a lot of API usage that maybe you wouldn't be able to get to. But across all apps, how cool would it be if your phone could tell you your... Well, I guess it would just do it through keyboard. Anyway, I'm live prototyping.
Making apps cool. I like it. This is good.
Your most used emoji, like the one emoji that you use the most... And how many times you've used it. Because I think that could almost be a reflection of your year.
I think it would. Because think, like, you communicate so much by a phone now. I think you'd be able to do it using the data from your keyboard. Because you know how it shows your suggested emoji.
Yeah.
Or, like, most recently used it. It's got to keep track of it somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think it's doable. Whether they'll do it, who knows?
What do you think your emoji of 2024 is?
I use the, like... You know, the side eye emoji.
Yeah.
I use that a lot. Like, just maybe that one.
I think for me, I've started using, you know, the smile, but with the single tear.
Oh, yeah, that was probably mine last year.
A bit stressed, doing your best.
I think I used that, the hand one as well, a lot this year. Like, I don't know how to say it. You know, when all the fingers are together in one. You know, like, it's kind of like chef's kiss.
Oh, yeah.
I used that a lot.
Yeah, I think that's what I want. So if phone providers, if you could sort that out for 2025, that would be wonderful. Let us know on socials what your emoji of 2024 would be. You can send us a DM at Tech Girl Energy. You can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Threads.
On YouTube.
What's your emoji of 2024? And you can follow us there for more as well.
Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.